this morning, I'm going to be preaching out of Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25 through 37, but I'm going to read it in two parts. So it begins, "Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? What do you read there?' He answered, 'You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live.' But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbour?'" I really like this passage. There's something really quite dramatic about it. We can't do this because of YouTube copyright restrictions and various other things. But if I was doing this in the White House Center, I'd probably have played a clip of like Better Call Saul or something like that up on the telly, because it's that sort of like legal drama, legal argument that's happening here. It's easy to read this, or quite often you'll hear this read as if it's just the guy's getting up and asking Jesus a question because he wants to know the answer. But what's happening here is that the guy who's asking Jesus the question, he's kind of trying to catch him out a little bit. He's spotted Jesus and he's heard some of the things that Jesus has taught, and he's trying to poke a bit of a hole in it. He's trying to try and trip him up a wee bit with this question. So he gets up and he asks Jesus this question: "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Which is kind of the question. That's like, what do I do to live right by God? What do I do to fulfill the demands of what God's asked of me in terms of my behaviour? And Jesus responds by asking him, "Well, what do you see in the law and the prophets?" He acknowledges that the guy kind of already knows a wee bit about what he's talking about, because he kind of pulls out and he expects him to know what's happening in the law and what happens in the prophets, and what he's and to be able to draw an answer out of that. And so Jesus asks him, "Well, what do you see there?" And the lawyer turns around and he responds, "Well, I need to love God and I need to love my neighbour, and that's what I need to do." And Jesus says, "Yes, good, that's it. There is no big trick apart from that. You just need to do those things." And he gets up and presumably he turns around and walks on and goes on with his day, because he's in the middle of doing a whole bunch of ministry stuff at this point. And just as he's going on his way, the lawyer turns and he asks him this question, Jesus, but who's my neighbour? Which, you don't really spot it on a first reading, but it's a really underhanded question, isn't it? You know, Jesus, what must I do? Love God and love other people. Jesus, but which other people? I don't mean to stereotype, and no offence to any lawyers who are actually in this call, but it's such a lawyer's question. He's looking for this loophole. It's like, the passage says he wants to justify himself. And so it's like he sees the demand of the law, which is over here, and what God requires of him, and he looks at his life and he sees that over here, and rather than, I don't know, thinking about, well, what do I need to address in my heart and my behaviour in my life to mean that I can live closer towards that, he goes to the law and he says, let's see if we can find a loophole here. Let's see if maybe it doesn't mean quite the thing I think it means, the thing that I'm nervous it might mean. And I want to be really hard on him. Actually, the first couple of drafts of this sermon, I was really hard on this guy. But I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about how often I read something like the Ten Commandments, or the Sermon on the Mount, or any of Jesus' teachings in the Gospel. And there's a little voice in my back of my brain that starts to kind of do the same thing. Because these commandments are hard, right? You know, living Christian, living according to the demands of God isn't easy. And we know in our natures we don't do it very well. And so there is this urge, this kind of gut thing to justify ourselves sometimes. To be like, but what does Jesus really mean by that? You know, maybe that's not quite what I think he's saying. And so this guy asked this question that annoys me, that offends me, that I find really frustrating. But this question that's also kind of in my own heart, if I'm really honest. And Jesus turns around and he responds. And if this is a movie, if this is a Netflix show, if this is a courtroom drama, this is the bit where like the music cuts out and the crowd goes really quiet, and we get this zoom in on Jesus as he's walking away, and then he stops, and he turns round and he lines this guy up, and maybe you see this guy start to look a bit nervous, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have asked that last question, I'm not quite sure what's coming now. And Jesus answers, and he tells a story. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them." Sorry. "Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Now, one of the things that's really nice about getting to preach on the parables, especially in days like today when I'm a tiny bit sick, is that the bulk of the preaching is actually kind of done for me. So if I'm preaching out of the prophets or the Psalms, you know, you have to do all this work going away and finding stories and thinking about how you're going to like illustrate a point and get it across and make it really understandable. But with the parables, I get to read Jesus's preaching and just use the things that he says, which is really nice. My job doesn't become telling the story. My job is just to provide context, to fill in some little details here and there that would have been apparent at the time that help us to see Jesus a wee bit more clearly. So Jesus mentions 3 characters in this story, other than the guy on the side of the road. The priest, you can probably guess. We have priests today, although they're slightly different to this sort of priest. He's like a religious official. He's a guy who would have worked at the temple and been responsible for kind of dealing with things like worship and dealing with the law and teaching people what it meant to live right by God. If this lawyer that asked the question, if he's trying to figure out these answers, this guy would have probably been one of his role models. He probably would have been one of those guys that he looked up to and was like, he'll teach me how to do this, right? And the Levite's kind of the same thing. There's some subtle differences that if you ask a biblical scholar, they'll get into. But the basic principle is that he's someone who's meant to be well-schooled in the law and work hard to keep it. So he's meant to figure out what it means to live right by God as well. And both of these blokes, these guys who the lawyer would have looked up to, walk by the guy at the side of the road. Jesus doesn't say that it was the wrong thing, but it's pretty implicit that it was the wrong thing, that they messed that bit up. And then we come to the Samaritan. Now, it's difficult to convey quite who the Samaritan would have been to the lawyer in this story. But suffice it to say that he would have been from a place called Samaria, which was nearby to Israel, and that there was a long history of things going on between Israel and Samaria that weren't very good. And it was a bad history, and the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really like each other. So this guy, when he saw the Samaritan pop up in the story, he would have, you know, the last thing he'd have expected in the entire world was the idea that he was going to be told what to do in this story by a Samaritan. It's about as far away from the idea of a good person that you would have got for this guy. And there are lots of reasons for that. But Jesus introduces this Samaritan, and the Samaritan stops by and he sees the guy, and he recognises that the guy needs help, and he goes and provides mercy. And so the message, first part of the message is implicitly clear. So Jesus, who's my neighbour? Well, it's that guy you really don't like, and you really don't want to have anything to do with, and you'd never believe could ever do a good thing to you. That's the guy you're meant to love. And that's part one. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. He uses the Samaritan, this guy would never want anything to do with, to illustrate to him what it means to follow God's commandments. So we see that the Samaritan doesn't just stop and help the guy up. He doesn't just stop there. Jesus gives us a really detailed account of how he stops and then takes care of him. And you can see, if you will, the lawyer hearing the story starting to sweat as he starts giving him these details. So he stops at the side of the road. He cleans his wounds with oil and with wine, which would have been his travelling possessions, so now he's got less to eat on his journey. He puts them on his animal, so presumably the journey between Jerusalem and Jericho, he wasn't planning on walking, but he ends up walking because he gives this guy his donkey. And then he gets to the hotel, and it's not even that he puts them up at the hotel, but Jesus actually gives us a receipt. He tells us it was 2 denarii for the days that he spent there. That's equivalent of 2 days' wages, so it's not a small hotel bill. This guy didn't go cheap. And he also tells us that whatever else, you know, whatever else this guy needs, however much more it costs to put him up there, the guy offers to pay the rest of it too. So Jesus says, well, what you need to do is you need to love everyone, including that person who you really don't like. But here's how you need to love them as well. You need to give of your time, your money, your possessions, and your comfort to make sure that they're okay when they need it. And there really isn't a loophole in there. He doesn't just say, this is what it means to love someone. He gives a really detailed account of what the cost of that love is to be. And so I'm reflecting on this, and I'm thinking about how do I deal with that wee voice in the back of my brain, that wee voice that's saying, well, what's the loophole here? How precisely do I love people? And how do I deal with Jesus' answer of what does that love need to look like? And we've said we're 6 months in. And this looks like it's going to go on for a while. And that's come at a real cost to lots of people in this community. And lots of people elsewhere. And I have to imagine there are lots of people right now in this church and outside who feel like they have been beaten, robbed, and left for dead on the side of the road. I was on Facebook this morning. I have friends, a lot of my friends are musicians. They're people who work for a living producing, recording, and performing music. And they were talking about the government new jobs package and how it doesn't cover them and how pretty much all of them, like their livelihoods are flattened. I can think of a great many other people I know whose lives are not coping very well with this situation. I imagine if we look at our community of White Inch, there are lots of people who really struggle with life as it is just now. And I know that I have too, and I don't want this to be a super hard, look, we need to take care of everyone else as well as us, but I want to think, what does it mean to love our neighbours the way Jesus tells us to love our neighbours? And he spells it out pretty clear. We give of our time, we give of our money where we have it, we give of our possessions where we can, and we give of our comfort to make sure that the people who need to be okay are okay. And that's not just within our church, although it's really important that we do that. And I don't for a second that this is not a suck it up and get on with it message. This is a we need to stick together message. But you know, Jesus doesn't pull the priest or the Levite out as the guy's neighbour here. Jesus pulls the guy who he'd have never had anything to do with out in this message here to love. And so I'm going to pray. And I'm going to encourage us over the next week in the Zoom room and elsewhere to take some time to reflect on the people who are nearby to us, both in church and outside, and what we need to do to really love them and demonstrate God's love to them right now in this space. Heavenly Father, we're sorry that we are sinful creatures who try and suss out the easiest way of reading your commandments rather than the best way of fulfilling them when we read them. We're sorry that you need to keep reminding us of the fact that we need to love one another and of what that love looks like. Jesus, show us how we need to behave over the next 6 months to deal with the realities of life as they are. Show us the sort of community we need to be. Give us the strength and the right hearts to love one another and to love others so that we're able to fulfill your commandment to the full. Amen.